Thank you.
Okay, good to see everybody. We speak about Thursday morning about the Nun and Parsha. So I want to speak about a very important meeting that emerges from someone, God forbid, that has Saras. We know the first Parsha mostly talks about the Dinim of a Metzora. And the din of a metzora is someone who gets leprosy. And the Gemara in Erekin says there's 7 veiras that the guy did to cause saras. But the 2 most famous are Lashon Hara and Sarasayim. Sarasayim, the word sarua. The word sarua appears a lot in the Parsha. Is referred to someone who's stingy. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara and someone who's stingy. And that causes the Aveira of, that causes the punishment, terrible punishment of Tzaras. So I want to begin, and I believe this is the most important midah of all the midahs Tovahs that we have. I think we should get these down, the Chidushim. Because I never met a guy that is a good guy that doesn't possess this midah. However, bad guys I've met that do not have this meeting. Gemara writes in the Darim and Daf Samach Talon and Beis that the Mitzvah is Dino Kames. A leper is like he's a mace. And the reason why he's like a mace is because the Gemara, the Halacha says he has to leave all 3 machnas. He has to leave all 3 camps. Machne Shechina, Machne Leviyah, and Machne Yisrael. And not only that, he has to live by himself. And a person that has to live by himself is Dino Kames. Because this world is just supposed to be Muruvim Abrius. It's supposed to be mixed with what? With different people and help people out. But since this person did not appreciate other people, namely speaks Lashon Hara about them, he's not willing to help them because he's so stingy, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not privileged to live with other people. And you need to reflect about this in your life and live by yourself until this malady leaves. And part of the concept of Lashon Hara and being stingy is this lack of the concept of being Makir Tov to people, of having a Karza Tov. And that's the meat I want to talk about today. That someone who possesses the meat of a Karza Tov doesn't walk around thinking everything is owed to him, but rather he has gratitude to Hashem, to his parents and his friends. That person that possesses that need of a Karza Tov is in fact a person that is acting the opposite of a Mitzayr. So I want to go through now a few Chidushim, more than a few, if we have time, about this concept of a Karza Tov. The first Chidush I want to bring out is the concept of Yehudi. The word a Jew in Hebrew means that he's a Yehudi. What does the word Yehudi mean? What does Yehudi mean? Yehudi means to acknowledge, to admit. When you thank someone, you're acknowledging they helped you. When you thank Hashem, that means the essence of being a Yid is that notion that you have the ability to say thank you, and you say it. Oh, I meant to say it. You didn't mean to say it. Then say it. You have to actually say it off your tongue. Say the 2 words. To live as a Yid means the ability to what? To have the ability to say thanks, and you do it. You don't think everything is, you walk around like you're holy out loud, that everything is what owed to you. That is not a Yid. A Yid that has the appreciation of a Karza Tov lives it and says it. And that is the essence of a Yid. In fact, the word Yehudi, someone that denies, Mordechai Yehudi denies Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is you worship yourself. It's really the opposite. You have no ability to give a Karza Tov. Avodah Zarah is many times people worship themselves or worship things that make no sense. The essence of a Yid, when you're called a Yid, it means you have the ability to thank. Everyone knows the word hod is admit. You're admitting, you're acknowledging when you thank. That's the first chiddush we want to point out. And someone who's a Mitzayra, if he had that notion of a Karza Tov, he wouldn't speak Lashon Hara about the guy. He wouldn't be stingy. he has this notion of what being makir tov. And therefore, why would you speak lashon hara about the guy? Maybe there's another yid that needs some help. If you anchored in this concept of makir tov, it's going to steer you in the right direction. And I can't tell you, I've met people that are not good fellows. You know why? They don't have this meeting. You know, in the morning, when we talked about saying Korbanos in the morning, do you guys say Rabbi Shmuel Omer in the morning? You know Rabbi Shmuel Omer after the Korbanos? The 13 mitos of Torah Shebaal Peh? What's one of them? Binyanav. What's a binyanav? You take a din and you expand it to Kol Torah Kulu. That's what I feel about a Akar Satov. You'll be humble from it. You'll be honest. You'll be ethical. Because you possess this mit of Akar Satov, and it steers you in the right direction. But if you don't have it, you might be a Baal Gaiva, you might be angry, you might not be honest. So that's number one, Chiddush. Number two, this halacha applies to someone who even knows Shas and knows the Rambam. You can know Kol Torah Kulu, but if you're a Kafui Tov, you're Dinovala Bikiris. The Torah says about the butler, Velo Zachar Yosef V'Yishkacheyu. Not only did he not remember him, he forgot him. Yosef HaTzadik helped the butler out. But what is Yosef's response? What is his response? He didn't remember, and he forgot him. Aren't those synonymous? The Torah has to say two things. He didn't remember, and he forgot him when he came out. You know what that is? He's not because. If you can't recognize that everyone's built at Tzelem Elokim, and be nice, and be appreciative, I don't care if you know the Shas and the Rambam, but if you don't possess that Midah Tov, you're Dino Kapikoyers. That's what the Torah stresses. Well, Zohar Yosef Yishkacheyu. Such behavior is not acceptable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second Chiddush. Number three. You know what we find about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That it's so important it applies even to an inanimate object. Moshe Rabbeinu refuses to perform the first three makis. On water, you won't strike the water for the blood. You won't strike the water for the frogs coming out. And for the ground, you won't do the lice. Who does them? Aaron. That doesn't mean I have to go ahead and thank the shtender, but it means I have to be appreciative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes trees. This shtender was made out of wood, let's say. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates chemicals where there's metal. Metal can be made. You walk around, you're so appreciative. That's your whole essence. That you have this ability. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't do it. And there's a story told about the great Gaon. Two stories about the great Gaon of Gusman. Zatzal was a great Rosh Yeshiva. Do you know when the Nazis pillaged Vilna, he hid in bushes for 8 hours. And when he came to America, then he went there to sort of make his own yeshiva. He used to water the bushes in the yeshiva till his old age. The Talmudim would say, Rebbe, let us do it. He said, no, I have a karsa tov to bushes. If it wasn't for the bushes, I'd be dead. There's another story about him about bushes. 6 months before the Nazis came to Vilna, he's walking in this forest with Reb Chaim Moser, the Gaon Dor. He was the youngest dying with Gusman. And they're talking and learning. Every 5 minutes, Reb Chaim Moser says, you see that plant? Those berries are poisonous. Then another 5 minutes, he says, you see that plant? Those berries are good to eat. Because you're not allowed to do that. Mishnah says, no, it's ma na ilun zeh. Not supposed to be talking and say, oh, how beautiful the tree is in the middle and interrupt. Not supposed to do that. What's going on? Because he ran in the forest for 2 years from the Nazis. He had nothing to eat but the berries. And he knew which berries he could eat now. Chaim Weiser had Ruach HaKodesh, the Nazis were going to come. He knew that he'd be running for his life, Rav Gusman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu applies to even to inanimate objects because it steers you in the right direction. You're an Ish Tov, you're a Yid, but you're a Ben Torah. A Ben Torah that possesses this meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's number three, Kiddush. Number four. If someone does you a Tova, even inadvertently, you're Mechuyiv to thank him. Even if the guy tried to hurt you, but Hashem orchestrated good things from it, you have to say thank you to him, unless he's going to get angry at you. But you have to somehow be able to say, well, I don't know, let's say a guy got fired from a job, God forbid. but it's the best thing for him. Let's say, I don't know, for some reason, this guy would have got engaged in this girl a little bit of catastrophe for him. And somehow, he was convinced by someone not to get engaged to him. Whatever it is, that second example is a different example. The first example, Lahuri, you get fired, it's a bad thing. It was the greatest thing in the guy's life. Maybe the whole company was going to be arrested. Somehow you have to thank the guy that fired him. As long as the guy doesn't get angry at you. Because Hashem orchestrated a good thing through this guy. I mean, the guy didn't intend. The guy intended to fire him and be mean to him. But a good thing happened. And what's the din? What's the mashal? The mashal is, even before the mashal, Moshe Rabbeinu gets to the well in Midian. What happens to the daughters of Yisroel? They're being abused by these shepherds there. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, saves them. So they come back to their father, Benos Yisroel. What do they say? Inish Mitzri saved us. Inish Mitzri, Egyptian man, saved us. You know what the Medrash says? Moshe Rabbeinu chimed in and said, no, don't thank me. Thank the Inish Mitzri that I killed, that caused me to flee to here. Do you think the Yishmitzri was trying to help Moshe Rabbeinu? Not a chance. He's even dead. And Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a karzah tov to who? To the Yishmitzri. Isn't that amazing? Moshe Lamado Radaimen. There's a baby drowning in the lake. And there's a man who gets bit by a wild donkey. And he's got a terrible cut. And there's gangrene. And he goes to the lake to clean it out. He sees the baby drowning. He saves the baby. And the family says, sir, how can we reward you? He says, don't thank me. Thank the wild donkey that bit me, because I wouldn't be by the lake. You see the power of a karzah tov? Even if someone does something to you, b'shogeg, you're mechuyev to what? You're mechuyev to thank you. So how many chidushim we have so far? Number one, the yid, Yehudi. Number two, you're an apikiris if you don't engage and want a karzah tov. Number three, even to inanimate objects. What's number four? Even if someone helps you, what? B'shogeg. Number five, where are the two occurrences in all of Tanakh? All of Tanakh that we find at Karas HaTov. Eliyahu HaNavi revived the baby. Elisha HaNavi revived the baby. The dry bones, according to one day in the Gemara with Yechezkel, was a muscle. Other day it says it happened. But the two most famous stories are that. You know the background behind those stories? You talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, Elisha HaNavi. These were Nevi'im Gedolim. And when they had a feeling, and when they had an inspiration, it was at the highest levels. Eliyahu HaNavi had nowhere to go, nowhere to eat, nowhere to drink, nowhere to sleep. And this family hosted him. They didn't know him. The hospitality was so beautiful. Eliyahu felt so appreciative, and he had such gratitude. When you talk about Eliyahu HaNavi having that feeling, that opened Shemayim. That family lost their baby. Eliyahu HaNavi felt such a koyach of a karas hatov. Hashem allowed him to revive the dead. There's only three keys, the Gemara says in Titus. Hashem has three keys. Chiyas HaMeisim, rain, and childbirth. And he gave one of them to Eliyahu HaNavi because he felt so appreciative. You don't find that, guys, by any other midah. No other midah has that koyach to be able to revive the dead. Same story with Elisha HaNavi. He had nowhere to go, nothing. No food, drink, or sleeping. And his family opened their home, and then they lose a baby. And Elisha HaNavi has that feeling. What happens? Hashem gives him the koyach to machai mesa. No other midah can do that. Now we might not be on that madrega. We might not be on that madrega. But this speaks volumes about this koyach. You follow what I'm saying? God willing, you'll meet a lot of guys in life. You gotta be anchored in this midah. It separates people. Puts you on a higher madrega. Makes you a mensch. Let's continue with more Kiddush. Do you know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would talk to you, you would do it? if Hashem would say to you, after Shir today, I want you to go get lunch in Lake Kom, would you do it? Of course you'd do it. Or if Hashem will tell you, go to the place, or Golan, go get some, is that called Golan? Go get the shawarma. You would do it, yes? We find in Parshas Matos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to destroy Midian. I want you to destroy the country of Midian. I want you to wipe them off the face of the earth. What does he do? He appoints Pinchas to do it. What's going on here? Hashem tells him to do something. He does it, no? No, not here. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz sets out the great Rish Yeshiva, the mirror. You know what he says? He says an amazing shot. Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, I grew up in Midian to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. That's where I matured. And now you're asking me to obliterate them from the face of the earth? Is that a karasatov? That's kafui tov. You know kafui tov? You're an ingrate. Can't be a bigger ingrate than that. No? How could it be asked to destroy the country? You know what the answer is? Moshe Rabbeinu stands on his head and says, there is no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant what he meant. I have to stand on my head and reinterpret what he meant. Maybe what it means, not maybe. He says, you know what Hashem told me to do? See to it that it gets done, but you don't do it yourself. If Hashem would tell you to get angry, which is a horrible meeting, if Hashem would tell you to be a Valgaiva, you would do it. If Hashem tells you to be an ingrate, it is impossible. It is absolutely impossible. Why? Because in our language, Hakaras Tov is the binyan av. It is impossible that Hashem will tell you to be an ingrate. And therefore, he had the license, otherwise it's chutzpah, he had the license to reinterpret the Dvar Hashem. You follow what I'm saying? No other meeting do we find this by. No other meeting. Kas, gaiva. Shem told me to be angry. I got to be angry. Shem told me to be a ball guy. I got to be a ball guy. We don't find that. But if it happened, you would do it. If Hashem tells you to be angry, it is impossible. You follow what I'm saying? That is amazing. Now, there's a lot more we got to do. Let's do more. Two more Chidushim, then we'll close, because we got a lot to do for Seder. Two more Chidushim, I want you to get. Another time when we'll talk about others. You know, I don't know if you've experienced this. You guys are younger, probably haven't. But there are fellows that will reciprocate. You know what reciprocate means? You help them out, they'll help you out. But done. Even Stephen. Scoreboard. We're done. That is not the Yiddish way. Guy helps you out, you help him out, and it never ends. You know what the statute of limitations is? Certain laws is a statute of limitations. There is no statute of limitations. So, guy helped you out 10 years ago. You always remember. What do you mean? I had the guy over 50 times. I helped him out 50 times in return. Does not make a difference. The Jewish way of Hakaras HaTov is you always remember. I'll give you two riyas for it. Avram Avinu, when he went down to Mitzrayim, only stayed in one-star hotels. He didn't have a lot of money. In Mitzrayim, he became a multimillionaire. When he comes back, the Ksav Sofer's Medayik from Rashi, he stays in the same one-star hotels because they gave him a bargain. They helped him out when he needed it. A lot of people don't realize how much their parents helped them when they get older. They forget it, or a Rebbe, or anyone else. Person has a lot of, I don't like that word success. What is success? Successful means in Ruachak, you know, Ruchnias. You don't look at a bank account to see if a guy's successful. See if a guy's a mensch. That's how you see. The guy's a bentayr. The guy goes to minyan. The guy learns. The guy helps other people out. That's success. Not how much you have money you have in your bank account, right? A lot of guys have money in the bank account. They're the meanest guys. They're not Makar Tov. They have their own talents. They were able to do it themselves. Come on. It's all based on Siyata Dishmaya. It's all based on Siyata Dishmaya. And therefore, Avram Avinu says, I'm going to help these guys out. I'll stay in the same one-star hotels. There is no statute of limitations. That was years earlier. So what? I'll give you another example. Who are Ammon and Moab? Who are the forefathers of Ammon and Moab? Who are the forefathers? Lo, Ammon and Moab. What? When he lived with his daughters, Ammon and Moab. What do they do to us? They don't let us come in their country. They don't give us food and water. Right? What did Avram Avinu do for Lo? He saved him. What did Lo do for Avram? He escorted him. He was malava him. Even Stephen, scoreboard. And they, Ammon and Moab, we're done. Scoreboard is tied. I don't have to help you out anymore. No bread or water. You can't even go in our country. Forget about it. Hashem says, you know what? I don't want any man. I don't want any man from Moab or Ammon to convert and marry in. They can convert, but they cannot marry us. Ammon, right? Ammon, Evelo, Ammonis, Moab, Evelo, it's coming towards Jews, right? Hashem says, that behavior, I don't want part of the Jewish people. To that degree. You follow what I'm saying? That's tremendous chiddush. There's no statute of limitations at all. It doesn't make a difference when it happened. And also there is no notion of a scoreboard. So let's chazer over this and plug it back in. And then we got a break for Seder. We said Yehudi. We said you're apikiris. We said it applies to inanimate objects. We said it gives you a koyach if you're of the level of Eliyahu Hanavi, Elisha Hanavi, Demachai Mason. Number five, it gives you the ability to reinterpret Pshat Dvar Hashem. Number six, even if someone helps you out, what? Even if someone helps you out, Beshogeg, yes, he intended on hurting you, but it turned out good. And what's seven and eight? There is no concept of a scoreboard, and there is no concept of time. If you have this midah, there is no way you're ever going to be a Mitzayra who spoke Lashon Hara and was stingy. No way that you have to live outside the camps and live by yourself, because you're never going to come to speak in Lashon Hara. You're never going to become to be stingy because you have this feeling of Hakaras HaTov to Hashem and to anyone who helped you. And that's going to steer you in the right direction and be a guide. So I want you to think about this midah. And in that sense, God forbid, we'll never have tzaras. And it won't apply to our clothes, to our houses, to our own bodies. The three categories. You know, Negoim is one of the six, the three Masechtas and Shas. It's one of the Masechtas. If we have this binyan av, it'll spread out everything. And this is the age to work on it. There's no special age. I still work on this meeting. I always ask this, am I being makir tov enough to Hashem? So we owe it to Hashem, to anybody, to my wife, to my kids. We always have to be makir tov. My parents are nifter. But, you know, I wonder to myself, did I show them enough hakaras hatov? I question myself. This is something we have to work on. But if we work on it, we'll never be in the scenario of being a someone got from Deket Saras because he was Malshim Lashon Hara or he's involved in Sarasai. Okay, let's stop here. Here's the Mar Makaymus, guys. We got to go Vaita today in the Gemara. We have